After today's ceremonies in France, the president flew to Italy. He will join other NATO leaders and Russian President Vladimir Putin outside Rome tomorrow to sign a treaty creating a new NATO-Russia Council. The aim is to give Russia a real voice in alliance deliberations on terrorism and other security matters, and to mark the beginning of a new era for NATO. But as NPR's Silvia Poggioli reports from Rome, many Europeans are wondering exactly what NATO's mission and scope will be in this new era.
A cartoon in yesterday's French daily Le Monde highlighted the irony that President Bush seemed to get a warmer reception in Russia than in the capitals of America's European allies. In fact, something has gone awry in the transatlantic relationship. Since September 11th, there's a growing perception in Europe that American unilateralism has put NATO on the sidelines. François Hesburgh, an analyst at the Foundation for Strategic Research in Paris, says Europeans have had to resign themselves to playing a secondary role.
In the case of Afghanistan, that's what we've been told to do. Don't call us, we'll call you sort of attitude by the Pentagon from September onwards.
The gap in military expertise and equipment between the U.S. and its European allies is so wide that the United States decided to wage the war in Afghanistan mostly on its own. Europeans lack satellite intelligence gathering capacity, long-range air transport, and laser-guided bombs. Analysts have estimated that Europeans are decades behind the U.S. in military technology. NATO Secretary General Lord Robertson has warned Europe to spend more to modernize or else risk marginalization. But European priorities are elsewhere. Constance Stelzenmüller, who writes for the German weekly Die Zeit, says European governments have to meet European Union budget restrictions. At the same time, she says, they're trying to sustain increasingly expensive welfare states.
Adding increased defense expenditures to get things like precision-guided weapons, which are extremely expensive on top of that, I think is not possible for any government now. I think it would be suicidal.
The U.S. and Europeans are divided not only over defense spending. More and more commentators are bemoaning a continental drift over trade, the environment, and the use of power. Jeffrey Gedman, director of the Aspen Institute in Berlin, sums up the European position this way.
Talking is always better than shooting. I think the American attitude is, in principle, talking is better than shooting, but you better have a gun, too, in case you have to shoot.
Gedman says that since the fall of the Berlin Wall, Europeans have gained self-confidence, and this attitude didn't change after September 11th.
They are not as accepting of American leadership. In fact, they're darn prickly about what they see as American domination at times, or domineering, or hegemony, and they don't see the threat in the same way we do.
Nowhere is the difference in threat perception wider than in the case of Iraq. Constance Stelzenmüller of Die Zeit says Europeans adamantly oppose U.S. talk about toppling Saddam Hussein by force.
People here don't think that Saddam Hussein is a reasonable man who's just had a bad experience in life and can be redeemed in some way. But they think that going to war against him is potentially a lot more dangerous than continuing with containment.
Europe and America appear to be out of sync. After centuries of wars, Europeans tend to reject use of military power and are trying to solve international problems through multilateral institutions, treaties, and agreements. The United States, on the other hand, was struck at the heart on 9/11. It sees the attacks as the end of the post-Cold War peace dividend. François Hesburgh of the Foundation for Strategic Research.
The Europeans have a very strong case on multilateralism, that there's a real fear here that American unilateralism will make the world a worse place. Conversely, the Americans definitely have a point when they say that the Europeans are underestimating the scope and the nature of the change which occurred with the attacks on September 11th.
With these two very different worldviews, it's hard to see what role the new NATO will play. Will it remain mainly a military alliance, no longer limited to Europe, or will it further transform itself into yet another political talking shop, now embracing its ex-communist enemies? The lack of controversy that accompanied Russia's partial admission to the club seems to indicate the latter. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.